night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Nick DiGiulio Show continues here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio here until 4 a.m. 312-981-7200. Is the phone number. After the 1 o'clock news, we'll be joined by Ian Schur, who is the editor at large at CNET.com, a great, great, great tech website. And speaking of tech, my first guest is Dr. Robert J. Marks. And Robert is the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence, and he's got a new book called The Case for Killer Robots: Why America's Military Needs to Continue to develop lethal AI. And we're talking with Robert about that, and we continue right now. Dr. Robert, welcome to the show.
It's good to be with you, Nick.
Yeah, so we thank you for doing this, and tell me a little bit about the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence, of which you are the director.
Well, first of all, I am also a professor. I'm a distinguished professor at Baylor University, but I also direct the Walter Bradley Center. It's about a year and a half old, and it was founded about a year and a half ago with the general idea of celebrating human exceptionalism and also kind of pushing back on some of the hype that's associated with AI. Mm. You just talked about the fake headlines from The Onion,
yeah,
versus real headlines. There's a lot of fake headlines out there about AI because I think a lot of people that talk about AI really don't understand AI.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the purposes of the center, is to kind of push back on that.
And how many people are involved in the center?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. We have a website, mindmatters.ai. We have a couple dozen people that are actually writers there and contributors of news and other things. We're associated with Discovery Institute out of Seattle, Washington, and we're one of their centers. They have a number of different centers, and so we have the entire infrastructure there that helps us out.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did you first start getting interested in artificial intelligence?
I have been doing research in artificial intelligence for over 30 years.
Wow.
I'm an old guy. There were actually three different waves of artificial intelligence, one in the 60s, one kind of in the 90s, and then there's this new wave coming in right now. And I got involved in the 90s, so I've been involved for quite a long time.
Okay. Well, tell us about these three waves that you mentioned, Doctor.
Well, the first one was in the 1960s, and there was a guy named Bernie Woodrow at Stanford University that came up with a neural network that did incredible things. And his technology was actually used later in line equalization. I don't know if you remember the old faxes.
Sure.
Were used to dial up, and it sounded like a duck choking on a kazoo. But that was that was Bernie Woodrow's neural network equalizing your line in order to get better communication. But Bernie Woodrow also used this was in the 1960s. Now he could take spoken commands, have them typed out. He used his neural network to forecast the weather. He used his neural network to train and play blackjack, and it actually performed up to the theoretical limit. And he was just doing incredible things back in the 1960s. There's a great documentary on YouTube that describes some of his work. But as what happens, there's politics and academia and research, as everywhere else, and there was kind of pushback from people that didn't like neural network sort of thing. So there was kind of an AI winter until the 80s. And in the 80s, there was a brand new rush. There was an evangelical guy named John Hopfield out of Cornell University that went around telling everybody about neural networks. So there was a big resurgence.
Yeah.
And then as of late, modern, they have all of these news headlines. It's a little bit old, but you have things like Deep Blue winning at chess. You have AlphaGo, which is an astonishing program today, beating the world champion at Go. And Go makes chess look like tic-tac-toe. I mean, it's a really, really difficult game, and it was kind of the gauntlet that everybody in AI was searching for. So that's been done. And so that captured the imagination of the media, and there was a lot of extrapolation and fake news.
Yeah, wow.
They came with it. So those were the three periods.
Wow. And it's Nick DiGilio show here on 720 WGN, and we're talking with Dr. Robert J. Marks, who is the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. His book is called The Case for Killer Robots, Why America's Military Needs to Continue Development of Lethal AI. Tell me about the book.
Well, the book is actually it's a pushback partially from people that want to ban killer robots. There's actually a organization called Human Rights Watch, which has the campaign to kill killer robots. The UN Secretary General came out and said killer robots are terrible, and we should make a bunch of international laws to ban them. And so there's been a lot of pushback, but one of the things I think a lot of this pushback against killer robots is made without an understanding of what AI does.
Mm.
And if history teaches anything in the military, to remain competitive, the U.S. military needs to respond and adapt to new warfare technology. Because if you look in history, it's the technology which really helps win wars, shorten wars, and sometimes, for example, in Reagan's SDI, kind of prevent wars. SDI ended the entire Cold War without firing a shot.
Mm-hmm. And so, go ahead.
So it's a pushback against that. And on the other side, we have people like Andrew Yang, who's running for president on the Democratic side, saying the U.S. is losing the arms race. We have a bipartisan National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence that put out a report in November 2019, which said basically the same thing. We're catching up. The Trump administration has done some very nice things at that. But the report ended, and it says we've got to get this right. It's not optional.
Mm.
And the United States adversaries are really doing incredible things. Vladimir Putin has said whoever controls AI in the future is going to control the world. And he meant probably economics, and if we know Russia, that meant military. Mainland China is putting $30 billion into artificial intelligence.
Wow.
Their goal is to be the dominant artificial intelligence force in the world in a few years. And you know that much of that is going to go into military sort of operations.
What falls under the umbrella of killer robots?
Well, it's any weapon that has artificial intelligence in it. Mm. And artificial intelligence, I guess, is the most general definition you can have. It's anything involving computers that when you look at it, you kind of go, wow, I think that that's currently the definition of AI.
Mm-hmm.
But we've actually had autonomous killer robots for a long time. So the actual AI has very little to do with the container in which it's in. So you can actually talk about artificial intelligence and humanoid sort of transformer robots, but it's also involved in missiles, autonomous underwater vehicles. The military uses a lot of AI, for example, in image recognition, target recognition. And so its application is all over the place. And a killer robot, I guess you would define as anything that involved artificial intelligence that was lethal, that could actually kill people.
Okay, that's fascinating. How can people get your book?
Well, like everything else in the world, it's available on Amazon.com.
Right.
And there's a Kindle version, there's a print version, and we will soon have a audio version of the book also.
Okay. I have many more questions about artificial intelligence, Doctor, and I'm going to ask them to you as we continue our conversation. Dr. Robert Marks is with us. He is the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. He's also the host of a Mind Matters podcast. We'll talk about that and more AI conversation. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Talk and text, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 4 a.m., and we will be joined by Ian Schur, editor-at-large from CNET.com. He'll join us after 1 o'clock. What right now, though, we're having a conversation as we continue. Dr. Robert Marks is the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. His latest book is called The Case for Killer Robots, Why America's Military Needs to Continue to Develop of Lethal AI. And Robert, we you know, one of the things that I notice now is that there are so many that AI is in so many homes now. You know, with your smart speakers and your, you know, your other devices that are in the home, is it more, are people now accepting AI more?
Well, I think actually the artificial intelligence is so with us that we're kind of numbed by the familiarity. If you think of things like Alexa, like you were mentioning, and Uber, Google Maps, even Netflix, Amazon shopping, Bitcoin, Dragon voice recognition, even Wikipedia and Skype all use sort of a type of artificial intelligence is the way as we have defined it. So, yeah, it's here. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's ubiquitous.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we now we just, you said we were numbed by it. I think it's also something we take for granted now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, for example, my cell phone. Gosh, I didn't have it a few years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody had a cell phone, and now we can't imagine life without it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely. That's true.
Let me ask you this. High-tech weapons are out there already. How did they help win wars, in, like, historically?
Well, historically, let's go to World War II.
Yeah.
You had things such as the Norden bomb sight, which improved the accuracy of dropping bombs. The Norden bomb sight was actually kind of cool AI, because what it did is it measured a bunch of environmental parameters like the wind speed. It actually took over control of the plane, and it decided when to drop the bomb.
Wow.
And this was all done by a so-called analog computer back in World War II. We also had radar, and radar was a big secret until the win over Japan, when the U.S. released all the information about radar. But that was a big secret, and this is an interesting historical story, that the Nazi pilots didn't know how the Americans were actually seeing through fog and actually shooting down their planes. They didn't know about the radar.
Wow.
And so the U.S. was kind of cool. They did some good propaganda, very wise propaganda, and they released, they leaked it, that the U.S. pilots were eating more carrots. And that's
is that real? For real?
Yes, it's for real. Look it up. I read it on the web, so it must be true. So even today, we associate eating carrots with better eyesight.
Absolutely. Oh man, that is funny.
So anyway, we had those things which helped win World War II. There was Alan Turing. This was the topic of the movie The Imitation Game,
right?
Where he helped crack the Enigma code. And that was technology that helped win and shorten the war. And then it's terrible, but it's true. The atomic bomb shortened the World War II by quite a bit.
Yeah.
I had an uncle that was in the Pacific Theater. He was supposed to jump behind enemy lines of the Japanese version of D-Day with 24 pounds of explosives attached to each leg. And it was basically a suicide mission.
Oh, man.
And it saved his life, and the bombs took out, I think, 220,000 Japanese, which is terrible. But there's a historian here at Baylor, Philip Jenkins, he estimates that probably without the atomic bombs, it would cost the lives of 10 million people. Not only the army people, but Japan was all within Korea, it was all within China, and there were standing orders, for example, in the internment camps that in case of Allied invasion, they were to kill all their prisoners.
Oh, man.
So you know, you hate to think about it. It's the lesser of two evils, but those are examples of technology winning, shortening wars.
Mm-hmm.
A place where it prevented war. I'm old enough. I was at the University of Washington when Ronald Reagan came out with the Strategic Defense Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I had a number of liberal colleagues at the time that said, "I want nothing to do with the Strategic Defense Initiative. It has to do with war. War is bad, and I want nothing to do with it." I had another viewpoint, got a very nice grant from the Navy, helped, I think, contribute to it. And my friends were wrong, because when Reagan went to Reykjavik and talked with Gorbachev says, this STI scares the bejeebers out of me. And he went home, and Russia was afraid of the economics that they couldn't keep up with this research, and it was instrumental in ending the Cold War without a shot being fired. So that's an example of technology which wasn't even developed.
Right,
helping to stop a war without any fight at all.
Yeah, we are talking with Dr. Robert Marks. It's the Nick DiGilio Show here on 720 WGN. So what kind of robots or what kind of technology and AI do we see in the battlefield now?
Well, I tell you, some of the stuff is kind of old. Let me give you an example of something that Israel developed about 15 years ago in 2004. It's something called a Harpy missile, and it's an anti-radiation missile. And you can think of it best by going back to World War II, where they used to shoot machine guns, and every fifth round was a tracer bullet so that the shooter knew where his bullets were going. But it was a two-edged sword because the target also knew where the bullets were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is kind of the way that the Harpy works. It is launched, and it patrols around, loiters, they call it loitering, around a predefined kill zone, and just kind of waits for something to happen. As soon as it's illuminated by radar, if that radar comes from the kill zone, the Harpy missile zeroes in on where the radar is coming from and goes down and takes out the radar installation. And this can be done totally autonomously, without any human intervention. Mm. And we've had this technology for about 15 years. And the U.S. has a bunch of equivalent sort of missiles that do exactly the same thing. They're called anti-radiation missiles.
And that's just part of what's out there in the battlefield now.
Yes, yes. That's what exists right now.
Okay. And what will we see in the future, you think?
Well, I tell you, the thing that kind of gives me chills are swarms of drones that are controlled by artificial intelligence that might be autonomous.
Mm.
Swarms actually have a very long, deep history in the military. But they're so robust. If you go kick down an anthill where you have a swarm of ants, for example, and you spend the afternoon stomping all the ants, you go back in a week and that anthill is built again.
Mm.
That's a characteristic of swarms. So if you have a swarm of, if you will, killer robots, which are attacking you, and you take out a half of them, maybe even 90% of them, you can still let some of them through and do their damage. And this is the sort of stuff in the future that we need to be aware of. And how do we actually countermeasure this sort of attack?
We are talking, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Dr. Robert Marks is my guest. His book is called The Case for Killer Robots. What about training the military once this, you know, when we bring in new AI, when we bring in more killer robots and more artificial intelligence, what's the training like for the people who are in the military?
Well, that's a good question. I think that actually anytime you bring in new technology, it's going to be training. I think this is going to be probably the future of the workforce in countries that adopt AI.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Joe Biden said everybody has to go back and learn to code again. No, they don't have to go back and learn to code again. But what they do need to do is they know how to operate the artificial intelligence and be trained in how to do it. And that's going to be in the workforce and the military. Now, the military has a very low ceiling. They actually want their weapons to be GI proof, which means that people with room temperature IQ can operate them. But of course, you have your specialists, and these specialists probably need to be trained. For example, the drone that took out Soleimani.
Yeah,
I'm sure that the pilot that was controlling that, who was very far removed from the actual drone that found Soleimani, they illuminated him with a laser and took him out with a Hellfire missile. But all of that was done remotely. But another aspect of the future of warfare is something going to be called electronic warfare, where you start messing around with the spectrum. You start messing around with radar and communication. Imagine that drone being communicated with by the remote pilot, having its communication interrupted by jamming.
Mm.
What would happen then? Well, you either have to scrub the mission or go to a total autonomous way of finishing the mission. That probably would not be a good idea in the case of Soleimani. But these are also the sorts of things that need to be considered in the future of warfare as we get higher and higher technology.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio on the Nick DiGilio Show, talking with Dr. Robert Marks. We have a listener who's calling in, Robert.
Yes.
Hello, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what's up?
Good. I was just wondering if the question is Lockheed Martin and, like, Boeing considered, you know, an artificial intelligence, you know, like companies?
Boeing and Lockheed Martin, Robert, what do you think?
Well, I do know that Lockheed, in fact, I worked on a project in my day job as professor that is actually interested in building smart ships, where they put high technology onto smaller battleships that actually minimize the number of personnel that have to be deployed there. The biggest, most visible companies right now in artificial intelligence are people like Microsoft and Google. Google actually has some great software which they make available to the world that anybody can download and use. But both Microsoft and Google, unfortunately, have kind of a pushback to do of anything to do with the military. Both of them had these large grants from the Department of Defense, and in two cases, there was a great revolt by the employees who signed big petitions and say, this has to do with war and all war is bad. And because of that pushback, they actually dropped out with their involvement with the DOD. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of sad. But we do have these places of Boeing and places like Lockheed that are interested in artificial intelligence. In fact, I was first introduced to artificial intelligence when I worked at Seattle part of artificial intelligence, specifically evolutionary computing, by an engineer at Boeing. He used to come out, and we used to have lunches together, and he explained to me lots of things which were going on there. And they actually used one of the first artificial intelligence applications back in the 90s for sorting all of the different parts that they had. It didn't go into a weapon, but it was in parts maintenance. So, yeah, these places know artificial intelligence, and they know how to apply it.
All right. Dan, thank you for your call. 312-981-7200. We'll continue with our conversation here. Dr. Robert Marks is the author of The Case for Killer Robots, Why America's Military Needs to Continue Development of Lethal AI. Fascinating stuff, and we'll continue the conversation here on 720 WGN. The Nick DiGilio Show on 720 WGN continues here on WGN, and we are talking with Dr. Robert Marks, who is the director of the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence. His latest book is called The Case for Killer Robots, and the news is next, by the way, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Robert.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, who develops these weapons? Is it the private sector or public sector? Where does this come from?
Well, it's probably, as Eisenhower said, the terrible industrial military complex, hopefully overseen by good and smart generals. But another place is that all of DOD has special research labs that actually work with these people. I do a lot of work for the Navy and the Army, and these are really, really bright engineers, and they know what needs to be done, and they actually interface with universities and people in industry to develop these weapons in accordance to the directions of the generals.
Oh, that's interesting. That's yeah. And how much of this is being done right now?
How much is being done with
development of the technology?
With the development of the technology?
Yeah.
Well, there is according to this National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence report, which was in 2019, there's kind of a reluctance of some of the high brass in the military to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
There's always this inertia, if you will, and they need to embrace artificial intelligence. They need to understand that one of the big fears is that it might be like Skynet on the Terminator.
Right.
And of course, one of the things we show at the Walter Bradley Center is that artificial intelligence and computers will never be sentient. They'll never be creative. They'll never understand. They can add the numbers 3 and 4, but they won't understand what the number 3 and 4 are. Mm. And currently, they don't have any common sense. They get confused very, very easily.
Yeah.
That has been actually one of the downfalls of Watson. Remember IBM Watson that beat the people of Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what they wanted to do with IBM Watson is they wanted to go and apply it to medicine. And there's still people doing this. The idea is that there are like hundreds of papers published every day in the biomedical field. And so you're a physician and you want to find out specifically about the case that you're working on. So you write down all the symptoms, you give it to the artificial intelligence, it goes out and retrieves all of the relevant papers. Well, this was actually contracted with MD Anderson, and IBM Watson was a big failure, and MD Anderson dropped them. And one of the problems was that they didn't have common sense. So that's one of the challenges.
It's Nick DiGilio show here. We're talking with Dr. Robert Marks and about artificial intelligence. Tell me about Mind Matters, your podcast.
Oh, Mind Matters. Well, this is with the Walter Bradley Center for Natural and Artificial Intelligence, and we actually covered all things. We're talking about artificial intelligence. There is also natural intelligence and the way the human brain works. Is the brain the same as the mind? What are some of the implications of the brain and the way the brain works? And we actually have a neurosurgeon that is a frequent contributor to the mindmatters.ai blog. And we discover all sorts of interesting things about the way that the human mind works. We're also interested in application of so-called appropriate technology. This is technology for developing countries that don't need a better computer. They don't need the most modern gadget. They need something which is appropriate for the country at the time. And we actually celebrate and fund some of the work of people doing appropriate technology, hopefully for sustainable sort of businesses where we can go into a country, actually establish a business, have it run by the nationals, and hopefully improve their economy.
Wow.
So those it's a very broad sort of scope that we deal with in all matters concerning natural and artificial intelligence. Lots of interesting stuff there.
Okay. It's the Nick DiGilio Show. We're talking with Dr. Robert Marks, and his latest book is called The Case for Killer Robots, Why America's Military Needs to Continue Development of Lethal AI. You know, you mentioned you talk about how the brain works, and this might be a sidetrack here. Have you seen a television show called Brain Games, Doctor?
I have not seen it, no.
Okay, it's a show on National Geographic, and it is it's hosted by Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele, and it is a wonderful show. It's a show where you have quizzes and tests on how your brain functions, and they give you different challenges and quizzes, and they have a celebrity on, and it was on Monday, and I watched it Tuesday morning after work. And they pitted an adult against a child to see how their brains worked in the same sort of quizzes and games that they played. And it's a really fun show. It's a fascinating show, and it's just I really love it, and I highly recommend that you should just check it out. It's called Brain Games.
Okay.
Yeah.
I certainly will.
Yeah.
Having talked to what this is another thing with that we're trying to make popular in terms of what the brain does that artificial intelligence will never do. There are things which computers can do, and it can only perform so-called algorithms. An algorithm
right.
is kind of a step-by-step procedure for doing things. Now, Alan Turing, who was a guy that cracked the Enigma code, but he was also the father of modern computer science, showed that there were certain things that were non-algorithmic, things that you could not write computer programs to do. You cannot write a computer program to have one computer program analyze another computer program in certain ways. It can't be done. It's proven. It's not questionable. It's pure math. So we need to ask the questions, are there aspects of human beings which are non-algorithmic, which you cannot write code for? This is indeed the case, and it means that artificial intelligence will never achieve these operations that people can do. Mm-hmm. This includes sentience and creativity and understanding. They look to be a non-algorithmic phenomenon. And so, therefore, when you have places like Skynet and the Terminator movie that becomes self-aware, according to the non-algorithmic aspects of becoming self-aware, that is not going to happen.
Mm.
So this really gives a sober view of artificial intelligence, and as we go forward with development of artificial intelligence, both in the military and in the private sector, this will give us a better idea of what the limitations are.
Okay. Doctor, fascinating talking with you. Great stuff. And the case for killer robots, why America's military needs to continue development of lethal AI, is available anywhere you can get books at Amazon. Doctor, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Nick. It was fun.
Okay. Dr. Robert Marks, everyone. And check out the Mind Matters podcast. Really. Okay. Really interesting stuff. All right. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN, and we continue.